Hallelujah, Jesus. Lord, we just align our hearts right now, Jesus, with what your Spirit is doing in this hour, Lord. We open up, oh God. We know that you are dealing with us in this area, Jesus. And I pray, Lord, that your Spirit of revelation will be upon our minds and our hearts, Lord. Jesus, we drive out every distraction. We drive out unwillingness, oh God. We are open to what you want to do in us. We receive it this morning, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. The title of the message that I'd like to share with you this morning is To Know His Voice. To Know His Voice. And my text is John chapter 10. Turn with me real quickly there. What I'd like to do is I'd like to ask you to help me in this message by taking everything that the pastor has brought to this point and laying this directly and squarely upon it. God is building something here. Don't unhook from what God has done thus far and begin to build a new thing in this message. This is built directly upon what God is doing this morning. And so don't start all over again or you're going to get lost, because I'm not going to go over a lot of the material that's already been brought. John chapter 10, verses 3 to 5. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This morning, my heart is to cause us to be hungry to know his voice. To cause a stirring within that we will get a hold of and recognize the voice of our King, the voice of our Beloved. Now we know, as Don was relating this morning, how that the voice of God was lost for many centuries. The Word of God was not being taught, it was not being preached. During the Dark Ages, there was a lack of light in the Church of Jesus Christ. But the Lord, through progressive revelation, bringing truths back to his people. And unfortunately, as the pastor mentioned, people camped along the way. But God brought those truths and people began to come out. They began to come out of the darkness and grab a hold of that truth. The question that I want to ask you this morning is, have you considered how far you can really go with restored truth? How far can you really go? Now, we've got a ways to go yet just with restored truth. But as I have considered and pondered the idea of progressive revelation and how God is bringing back the truths that apostles and prophets in times of old have walked in, I have to ask myself, these people that were walking in these truths, this was the baby church. This was the newborn church. This was the beginning of it. This was the foundation that God wanted to build his bride upon. Is bringing us back to that place really the fullest intent of the heart of God? I think not. God's plan, and you don't have to turn there. We're familiar enough with the scriptures. In Ephesians chapter 4 and Ephesians chapter 5, we read about the man of Ephesians. Fully mature, the unity of the faith. In Ephesians 5, the bride without spot or wrinkle. These things will not come to pass in us or in anyone else on the basis of restored truth alone. Now, this is my opinion. I'd like to forward this. I'd like you to consider what I'm saying. I have some scriptures that I'd like you to weigh. Now, what I'm saying is not that we want to poo-poo the idea of restored truth, that we want to downplay that. But what I intend to do this morning is, with the Lord's help, expand our mind and see that God is going to take us far beyond what I believe our goal has been in our studies of the Word of God. That there is a goal, there is a determination that we must grab a hold of in our studies. In our studies. Not in our dancing, not in our worship, but in our studies that is going to equip us to become what God wants us to become. Now, I'd like you to consider for just a moment a type. The type of taking the promised land. Many of us have studied this. God's promise to Israel was to go in and to take the land, to be victorious over the enemy. And that's what we've been experiencing. We've said, this land belongs to me. And God says, I have a right to live here and to walk with Jesus. And these demons don't belong here, and therefore, I'm kicking them out and I'm taking over. And we have begun, just begun, to really move into the land. We've taken some Jerichos. We've had some defeats at Ai. We've come back against Ai after repenting. We have seen God give us victory. And we've begun to move into the land. We've begun to taste of the grapes. We've begun to taste of the sweet milk and honey of the land. And it's been a rejoicing, and it's caused us to rejoice in God such as we have never been able to do before. Yet, what was God's purpose in bringing them in to the promised land? I'd like you to turn to 1 Kings chapter 8. Now, there's many purposes and there's many types that overlap here, but I'm trying to focus on a particular point. And I think you'll see this in 1 Kings chapter 8, verses 54 to 56. 1 Kings 8, 54 to 56. And it was so that when Solomon had made an end of praying all this prayer and supplication unto the Lord, he arose from before the altar of the Lord, from kneeling on his knees with his hands spread up to heaven, and he stood and blessed all the congregation of Israel with a loud voice, saying, Blessed be the Lord that hath given rest unto his people Israel, according to all that he hath promised. There hath not failed one word of all of his good promise, which he promised by the hand of Moses, his servant. God's intent for us in coming into the land and all of these promises, and we can look back and say, God has been faithful. God has been faithful. The testimonies have come forth of the faithfulness of God. Just as Solomon is proclaiming here, that God has been faithful to what? To provide us a rest in the land. A rest in the land. Tie that with 1 Corinthians 14 and Isaiah 28, we know the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 22. 1 Chronicles 22. 1 Chronicles 22, verses 9 to 19. I don't want you to read the whole thing. We're just going to look at the last couple of verses there. This rest is for a reason. This rest has a purpose in it. There is a rest in God that is designed to do something in the people of God. It's not a rest to in the terms of relaxing from the things of God. We've been pressing in, and now we can just kind of kick back. It's hammock and lemonade time. See? It's not that idea at all. There is a rest that has a purpose to it. Now, this whole section here in 1 Chronicles speaks about it. I'd like you to read verses 18 and 19. Is not the Lord your God with you? And hath he not given you rest on every side? For he hath given the inhabitants of the land into mine hand, and the Lord and the land is subdued before the Lord and before his people. Now, set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord your God. Arise, therefore, and build ye the sanctuary of the Lord God, to bring the ark of the covenant of the Lord and the holy vessels of God into the house that is to be built to the name of the Lord. The rest that God is providing for his people is one where we can stop the fighting, stop the wailing, stop the coming against of these demons, and be rested in our souls that we might build the house of God. That God might cause his house to be built. It's not these walls. It's us. And as God brings us into this land, and as God moves us into this rest, we're not there yet. We're just beginning to come into it. But we need to get our eyes far beyond the idea of just taking the land. We've got the land. We've made it. No, we've got the land. And so now we can begin to build God's temple. We can begin to build what God has to build in his people. Isaiah chapter 66, you don't need to turn there. Isaiah 66, the first couple of verses. The Lord lets us know that he is not looking for things that we can make with our hands or things that we can do. He is looking for those of a poor and a contrite spirit. For those that tremble at his word. Revelation, right at the end of the Bible. Who is the tabernacle? Where is God going to tabernacle? In us, in his people. God's tabernacle is with men. Now, given this type, given this idea, this concept, is restored truth, this is the point I want to make, is restored truth really going to get us to that place? You let your mind go. I want you to see something here. Look down a ways. Look down and see where God is taking his bride. Look down the road by the eye of faith and recognize that those that are in Laodicea, the lukewarm, are in a place where they're walking with God. In my opinion, the bride and Laodicea live in the same land. They're living in the same land. There is much truth that has been... Do you know spirit-filled Christians that are walking in Laodicea? Not in a judgmental way, but just weighing and recognizing they've come out. They have accepted restored truth. There was truth they did not have, and they accepted it. And yet, there was something missing. There was something that was not there that enabled them to really move into that bride relationship. There was something in their hearts that hindered them from really moving into what God wanted. And so I believe that they're living in the same land. Now, Revelation chapter 19 and verse 7 lets us know that the bride has a responsibility to make herself ready. You're familiar with that scripture, aren't you? The bride hath made herself ready, it says. Right in Revelation 19:7. Therefore, there is something that is incumbent upon us, that is preparatory. Something that we have a responsibility to do in response to God. It's not a self-works thing. Right. But that will cause a separation between those that are living in the same land. Right. To be known as the bride or to be known as Laodicea. I believe that Laodicea may in fact come into a real full acceptance of restored truth in the Word of God. In other words, the truths that we have been blessed to receive are not the delineation between the bride and Laodicea. That may be a revelation to some. We feel like we have been blessed, we have been privileged. God has unfolded things in His Word that have caused us to recognize that there is a distinction between the way we're walking and the way others are walking. It's because of truth that God has given us and we've responded to. My contention is before this is all over, we're going to see that many are going to come into the same truths that we're experiencing, and yet they will not be walking the same walk. I'd like to forward for you the difference, what I believe is the difference. It goes back to John 10, what I started with, and that is knowing His voice. Knowing His voice. The bride of Jesus Christ that is living in the land will have been in a place where she has prepared herself through feeding upon the Word of God, not being satisfied to repeat the doctrines that she has heard, to parrot the theology that she has learned, to be willing or satisfied to merely walk in the principles that have been forwarded, but through the words that Jesus has spake, through the works that He has done, through the moving of the Spirit that He has done in the past, to come to a place where she actually knows His voice. Do you know the difference? There is a gulf, a great gulf, between knowing someone just because you know them so well and you hear them say something, and even if their voice sounds funny, you know it's them. The voice may not sound exactly right, but just by what they said, you know it's them because you know them so well. You know their heart. You know the way they express things. You know what they like. You know what they don't like. You know how the things that flavor their conversation. And so even if you pick up the phone and you got one of those teeny little 995 phones, you know it's them. You can tell because you know their voice. You know it's them. How do you know it's them? by the word, by what they've done in the past. But I have found, and I'll share a little something with you if I can take just an extra second here. I have found in my own life, as a pastor working with a flock of sheep, that there is a vast gulf also between teaching that which you have learned. You have all nice and neat, and you just get it out, and you go, oh, I know this. And teaching that, see, we can do that. We do that when we witness. Oh, yes, I know that. I understand that allegation. Sure. Baptism of the Holy Spirit, oh, no problem. Yes, I had Holy Spirit one. I understand that all thoroughly. See, we can give that back, and we can do this, and we can... Do we know his voice? Have we come to a place through really digesting the Word of God where we really know his voice? Do you know the Lord through his Word to know if someone brought you a scripture and they said, this says this in the Word of God, is there something inside of you where you know right away if it is or it isn't? Not because you memorized it, but just because of the way it sounds, because of the tenor of it? We've learned about that nebulous thing called the tenor of the Word of God. That is not found by light perusals of Scripture. The tenor of the Word of God is not gleaned by just listening to messages from the pulpit. The tenor of the Word of God is not found by listening to Bible studies on tapes. The tenor of the Word of God is found by chewing, feeding, wrestling with, contemplating, praying about, crying out for understanding with the Word of God. Because when you get into the spinach of the Word of God and you go, Lord, there's a reason you've given this. What is it? What are you saying to us, Lord? What would you have us to do with this, Lord Jesus? There's something that you can grab a hold of there. And when you've come through that, you may only have a little, it's just a one line on your sermon. It's that little thing that you heard in the Bible college class. And we take it, and it's just spoon-fed, and it just slides down so nice, and we just are so satisfied with that. I believe that God is calling us as a people to grow up and to not be satisfied with learning Bible stories, learning types, learning data in the Word of God, parroting doctrine. Now, I'm not bringing this in any form of a rebuke, but I know the trap. I know the trap. It is so easy because we're given so much that we can just take what comes easily and never come to grips with the Word of God. And if we don't come to grips with God's Word, we're not going to know His voice. It's that simple. Repeating, being taught, coming to an understanding and giving it back out is not knowing His voice. And I believe that the separation is going to come between those that know His voice and those that don't. I don't believe it's going to be necessarily, although in some measure it may be, the distinction between those that will accept revealed truth that has already been walked in other words, restored truth, where the apostles walked in this. What I'm saying is, you know how we can, you know, there's a lot of churches, and I'm not saying this is the wrong thing. Do you know there's many churches, why do we, you know, they give you the bulletin when you walk in the door. Why do we clap our hands, chapter and verse? Why do we raise our hands, chapter and verse? Why do we dance, chapter and verse? Why do we sing, chapter and verse? And list out all the scriptures that explain everything why they do it. Do you know that the bride of Jesus Christ and in this church, there will be a day that's not too far off. We won't be able to do that anymore. I believe that. Because Jesus said, greater things than this shall ye do. We are going to experience things that people in times of old have never experienced it. Where are you going to see it? Chapter and verse. It's not moving outside of the Word of God. It's taking the Word of God and becoming a living epistle. It's becoming one that is in tune with the voice of their King, and they know it's of God because it fits with God's Word. There may not be a chapter and a verse. You may not be able to put your finger and it says, well, right here it says that I have a right to dance. You may not be able to do that. Now, I'm not predicting necessarily, but I can see that by the Spirit, that as the Lord moves us in through this progressive revelation into the land, that's all He's doing. He's restoring the land to us. This land belonged to the apostles way back then, and here we are thinking we're some great big thing because we've learned about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Because we have some understanding with who Jesus Christ really was. That's no new thing. They believed that 4,000 years ago. 2,000 years ago. Get my dates right here. See, that's not some new thing. And so as we come into these restored truths, it's getting back into the land. Once we're in the land, we have to begin to make ourselves ready. We have to begin to say, Lord, you want to dwell here, and I've got to know your voice if I'm going to be that vessel. This is a call not to go beyond the Word of God, but a call to get in to the Word of God. We are not going to find the voice of our bridegroom dancing. His voice will be found, and the only reason that we can dance is because we have spent some time in the Word of God. I have appreciated, as I have listened and been under Don's teaching for a period of years, I have seen that the reason that the man and some of these Bible college teachers have the convictions that they've got is because they've had to wrestle. They've had to. I've got to teach this class tomorrow morning, Lord, and they're going to ask me, and I need to know. And so, but we sit in class. I'm challenging every Bible college student. I'm challenging everyone who has never sacrificed to go to Bible college. I'm challenging everyone who comes here and listens to sermons and half of it goes over their head and they never check out the tape and dig out the other half. I'm challenging us to get into the Word of God. The sermons and half of it goes over their head and they never check out the tape and dig out the other half. I'm challenging us to get into the Word of God, to take a hold of it, to wrestle. Why, Lord, is this here in Exodus? Lord, what's happening in Leviticus? I don't understand, Lord. Why are these things here? What is this for me? And as we do that, we're going to find a new awareness of what the voice of our bridegroom sounds like. We have to be hungry. We have to allow ourselves to be hungry. Look back at John 10 where we started. Look back at John 10. Lord, quicken this to us. I have been convicted in this area. I really have. God is dealing with me. I've been preaching on the end time events in the body at home. And I have been preaching on the differences between Laodicea and the bride of Christ. And I really am coming to see that there's next door neighbors. There's people that are in the same city and some are in the bride and some are in Laodicea. There's some in the same apartment block. There's people that are next door neighbors. There's people living in the same houses. And some are the bride and some won't. And I've been going before God, Lord, what is the distinction? What is it, Lord? You're calling to us, Lord. What is it? John 10, go back again. Verse 4. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, and goeth before them, and the sheep follow him for, they know his voice. What's the reason they're following him? They know his voice. The separation is coming. I believe that we will find situations in front of us in the weeks and the months and the years ahead where God is going to bring things that those that do not know His voice and insist on knowing a chapter and verse, they're going to balk at. And they're going to hesitate. Some will leave. This move of the Spirit that we've been moving in recently, the dancing before the Lord. Search your own heart. Was there something in you that just thought, oh, wait a minute. I'm not talking about a demonic thing, but just something where you weren't real sure. You know, well, I'll do it if Don does it. You know, why? Why do you do that? Why do we do that? Well, yes, we feel safe. He's our pastor. But you see, there's a recognition. Well, okay, if Mark does it, if Greg Thiel does it, if Lanny Peterson does it, see? If somebody else, why do we do that? because we know that they're in tune and they're listening to the voice of God. And so we may not be able to hear it, but if they can hear it, that's okay by me. God is going to cause us to be in a place, right? Isn't that what we do? Sure, that's what you do. See, and there's a safety in that. But I think God's calling us to grow up and say, listen, bride, you're not going to be able to go into the bride on the coattails of Mark Yokers. Lanny Peterson, although I'm sure he'd like to be able to grab a whole bunch of people and take them with him, he's not going to be able to do it. The Lord is going to, in each one of our lives, lay before us decisions. And in order to make the right decision, or in order to overcome our flesh and the demons that are pounding on us, we are going to have to know God's voice. Not necessarily chapter and verse, but by getting the chapter and verse, by being in the Word of God, by being filled with the Word of God, to be in a place where, Lord, I know that this is of you. It bears witness in my spirit. I know that it lines up with your word. I know that it's in line with what my pastor is bringing. And therefore, no hesitation, no balking, right. Run with it. Yeah. Right there. As Don preached last year, and I believe it was last year in camp meeting, as the Spirit of the Lord would move. Remember Ezekiel's vision. As that thing moved, the people were right there. That's where we want to be. We want to be moving whithersoever. Right. Whatever direction. As quickly as He moves. And I believe that this is the separation. That God is going to lay this before us. I have seen this in my own life, in a measure. And I believe that I have just begun to taste. I have gotten desperate to begin to find God's voice. I really have. I have seen my lack. I have seen that knowing doctrine is not knowing His voice. I've found that out. It's not the same. And as we move from this move of the Spirit into the next one, into the next one, into the next one, and right on down, each one of us are going to have to go before the Lord and say, Jesus, is this of you for me? Is this? And we won't be able to get our concordance and look up D for dancing and see where does it say, where does it say? Now, wait a minute here. I know it's here somewhere. We're not going to be able to do that. We're going to have to get on our knees, and we're going to have to go one-to-one. Say, Jesus, I need you. Right. And that is what's going to make a difference.
Yeah.
We can't hesitate.
Right.
We need to be in step with one another. Knowing the Scripture, knowing the Word of God, I close with this thought. This is a simple concept. But the separation is coming. The separation is not going to occur at the rapture. That will only make it visible, the separation that's been in the heart all along. That'll demonstrate before the world the difference that's been there all along. The world will look and they can't tell. There's two in the field. There's two over here. There's two over there. They look the same to me, but there is a difference inside. The difference won't be those that are waiting and saying, well, Lord, you know, I'll know I'm in your bride when you take me in the rapture. No, you need to know now. The bride hath made herself ready. That's our responsibility to say, Lord, I'll be ready so that when you move, I'll follow. That's all my responsibility is. I can't lead. I can't go anywhere. But if you lead and you give me the strength, I'll follow. And our responsibility is to get serious with the Word of God. Not just Bible college. I've been through Bible college. And I still have found a snare. In fact, I might even reword that a little bit. If you're in Bible college, it may be a greater snare. Because it's such a temptation to sit back and just feed. Pablum. Final thought, I promise. There was an assignment. I hope they haven't gotten rid of it. And I don't even remember what class it was in now. There was an assignment that I took really early in Bible college, first semester. I think it was in perspectives. I don't remember now. But there was an assignment where you had to get in and chew. You had to look up some things, gave you a list of scriptures. I don't remember what it was now. Gave me a list of scriptures, and I couldn't look up the answer in the back of the book. What is this? What is that? What does this mean? What does that say? Ah! You know, quick! Which way to the library? You know, where's all the commentary? Flip. They don't know. Oh, no. Now what do I do? I knew what to do, but I didn't want to do it. It scared me. I thought, Lord, you mean I've got to get a hold of your word, and I've got to figure this out for myself? What if I'm wrong? Well, if I'm wrong, I'll learn. But it was the first time that I really got an appreciation for every point. You know, those nice 29 ways, you know, here's five things. These are the 6 points that I want you to get from this verse. You know, we get our nifty little lists out, and we write them all down, and we memorize, and we get an A on the test. You know, try to come up with one of those sometime. Try it. That's hearing His voice. That's getting a hold of God and saying, Jesus, what are you speaking to your people in this verse? See, you get a hold of that. I got an appreciation from that point on. I never forgot that. I wrestled with that thing for hours and hours and hours, and when I was done, I had one line. I had one statement. One statement. Fortunately for me, I got it right. I got it right. But you know what? I recognized that that was exactly the kind of a point that was made hundreds of times every day in every class. And I realized that I didn't appreciate and I didn't have a hunger for really getting in there and chewing on the Word of God, becoming that living epistle. So I challenge you this morning. If you see, Lord, I want to go on. I want to go beyond what you've done in the past, Lord. I see that you're calling me, Lord, to much greater things. Jesus, I want to be a channel for you in these last days. I want to love you. I want to express my love to you. If that's your heart, then it's not a matter of, well, we've been teaching Bible doctrine here for quite a while, and so now it's time to dance in the Spirit, and I'm going to love the Lord. It's not removing ourselves from the Word of God. It's instead turning right around and saying, God, I've got to get a hold of you. I can't live without your word. I've got to have it as that manna, the daily bread. I've got to chew on it. If it's hard to get down, Lord, I've got to grip with that thing. I've got to wrestle with it until I know what your heart is. And if you'll do that, you'll find that as the Lord moves and your pastor leads you and he brings, as the Spirit of the Lord brings things, you're going to go, I know that voice. I know that voice. I know what he's saying. You won't have 14 scriptures come to mind. But you'll know the voice. You say, I know that. That's for me. Lord, I'm right with you. Let's go. And you'll be right there and you'll be in step. It'll make leading this army a whole lot easier for your pastor. But I'll tell you, the devil is going to run when this people get hungry for God's word. God bless you.